I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Well, hello there. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. I don't know why I always do these lead-ins. It's Dean Ungler, joined in studio by Jared Habon.
What's going on? I'm currently taking off my sweater because it's pretty hot in here right now.
Vanessa is taking a sick day today. Easton is here as well, and Mark is nowhere to be found because who the heck knows why.
Yeah, without Mark and Vanessa here, it kind of feels like mom and dad are away, and they left the kids to play.
The lights in the studio are off. It's Dean, Easton, and Jared, and it's something, it just feels right about all of this.
It just feels like when the cat's away,
the dogs will play.
That's the way the saying goes, right? I think so. I know the lights aren't on in the studio. Everything's just array. We're literally putting this podcast together 5 minutes before
it's
we
like,
went on air.
Nobody knows what's going on. Think of? It's like when you go, like when we were in high school and you're on summer vacation, but then for some reason you go into the high school. Like, did you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's empty and like all the lights are off, but like the natural light is flooding in and you're like, I shouldn't be here right now, but I'm here.
It's the taboo factor. Yeah. That's what it is. It's crazy how back in high school, you'd always talk about how you wanted to get out of high school. But like you said, during summer vacation, where would you go?
Sometimes you'd go mess around at the high school.
Do you ever go on the roof of your school?
Oh, yeah.
You were that troublemaker?
Yeah.
Dude, I was way too scared.
I remember it was a big deal because we had three separate buildings for our elementary, middle, and high school. And when I was in middle school when I went on the high school roof. And I was like, I've been on all three school roofs. Watch out, world.
You badass,
yep.
You.
I was way
too scared. I played football during school. So summer was mostly, you know, just practices, training camp, all that good stuff. And I remember seeing kids all the time on the rooftop and thinking they're gonna get in so much trouble. So Dean, somebody on the Facebook group actually tagged you. I wanted to talk to you about this because I'm a little concerned about your mental stability after this article is being released. So it says, hot for hot Cheetos, Texas doctors warn to lay off the spicy snacks after spike in ulcers. Dean,
you want to know what's funny is I think I need to be the brand spokesperson for Hot Cheetos.
How many times a day do you get tagged in something about Hot Cheetos?
A dozen. And you want to know what's funny? Is because last year, after going on The Bachelorette and after my affinity for Hot Cheetos came to surface and everyone started to know about it, I started to see more Hot Cheeto-centric foods. And I'm claiming responsibility for that. People were basting their turkeys in Hot Cheeto crust. People are making Hot Cheeto pop-up restaurants. And part of me thinks that it's because of me. Because everyone,
it's all because of you.
Everyone started talking about Hot Cheetos as soon as I came off The Bachelorette and professed my love for Hot Cheetos publicly.
What's the name of the guy that the Cheeto guy?
He's a Hispanic janitor, right? Oh no,
what?
Chester.
Chester.
Yeah, Chester the Cheetah.
Hispanic.
He's the guy who created
is a Hispanic.
I didn't know that backstory. Well, oh, I meant Cheater. Cheaters is his
Chester
name.
Chester the Cheetah.
Jesus.
Jeez Louise.
Chester the Cheetah.
Yes.
So you're just claiming now that you should replace Chester.
I would love to replace Chester.
Well,
I can totally see that.
Spokesperson, you could be the hot Cheetah. Hot Cheetos don't have anything right
now. That's a good point. Yeah. And Chester just came out with a pretty cool rap because Doritos copied their Flamin' Hot flavor, and so Chester came out with like a diss track for Doritos. It's pretty good.
Well, the question is, can you rap? Can you be like the hot Cheeto Chester of rap?
You're messing all your chiz up. I could. I'm not going to freestyle, but if you give me some time to prepare a rap. Oh, how about next week's episode? I'll prepare a Hot Cheetos rap.
Yeah, and that will be your audition tape for
the spokesperson for Hot Cheetos. But it's funny because I don't even, like, okay, I eat a whole lot of Hot Cheetos, but I don't eat as much as people. Like, people think I'm having them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, when in reality, I'm having, like, a bag a week.
That's still a big bag or
a little snack bag? A little bag of lime Hot Cheetos.
Like a bag that you buy at the grocery store for, say, a party or like a snack size that you bring to your lunch?
Personal size. And then
That's not bad.
You can't be the spokesperson for this Cheeto if you have a snack size bag
my gosh.
All week.
What, you're going to make me eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? But then that little Zan guy, he goes to the hospital for ulcers. He ate too many Hot Cheetos and he had to go to the hospital for it. And
wait, who?
This is like stupid little rapper
Zan.
Kid.
Zan? Or
he's
Zane?
He's the most obnoxious looking.
Zane.
Lil Zan.
Right?
X-A-N.
You're thinking of Zane from One Direction.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
no.
This is Lil Zan.
Google Lil Zan and you're going to look at him and you're going to be like,
how do you spell his name?
L-I-L-X-A-N.
Is that how you spell Lil?
Nice. Anyways, when he went to the hospital, people kept tagging me like, Dean, if you don't change your ways, you're going to end up in the hospital like Lil Zan did. And I'm like, come on. I consume responsibly.
Yeah, there's a CNN article that says Lil Zane can't stay away from Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
It's Zan.
Like Xanax. All right, like a Xanax. Gotcha. Yeah, he was taken to the hospital.
That's what it's based off of.
Well, he also said, he says, I guess I ate too many hot Cheetos and it ripped something in my stomach.
Well, I will say,
and I puked a little blood.
This hasn't happened to me in my adult life, but as a kid, I maybe consumed more frequently than I do now, and my digestive system wasn't well equipped enough to handle it, and so my BMs were pretty bad.
Yeah,
like they were pretty red
aches.
And they were pretty hot. My body, I think, has since maybe adjusted and can handle it now. But back when I was, you know, 10 years old to 16 years old, there were some pretty brutal times.
Would you say Cheetos is your favorite food? Like, for example, if you were stuck on an island and you had one food.
No, because there's not enough nutritional value coming from a Cheeto. But I will say whenever anyone asks, you know, that's a pretty common question. It's like, what's your favorite food? I don't think I've ever once thought to answer hot Cheetos. I always think it's more of like a meal, like a pizza or hot wings or something like that.
Yeah, but I would never think of answering it
with a snack. No, it's always.
Totally.
Right.
It would always be pizza or tacos or something along those lines.
Spaghetti.
That is actually a meal. Spaghetti's very specific. Not pasta. No. And you know what? Penne, you can throw penne out. I want spaghetti.
I like penne. I hate elbow noodles.
I
can't stand elbow noodles.
Whoa. What if you're having have you ever had macaroni salad?
I've had macaroni salad. I've had macaroni and cheese, of course, with the elbow noodles. And I like macaroni with shells.
Yeah, I like macaroni better with shells as well. The elbow noodles, though, is far better for pasta salad.
Oh, yeah. That's the only noodle for
I'm about to puke because I'm thinking of elbow noodles. They're so bad.
Oh, I love them.
The noodle to sauce ratio just doesn't make sense for me with the elbows. The shape, they always fall off your fork. You can't poke them with the fork and you can't scoop them with the fork.
See, I disagree. I find that it's easier to eat the elbow noodles because they have the open ends on either side.
Oh, so you're going to slide an open end into each prong of the fork?
But sometimes when I get the fork in there, and sometimes if I don't get a pasta, like if I stab it, sometimes the fork will slide into the noodles and all of a sudden I have like three noodles on my fork and I'm like, jackpot, this didn't even take any effort.
I don't know, man. We need to talk about this more. Anyways, we just had our first guest of the day walk in. And I wish you guys could see what we're seeing right now because it's fantastic.
It's a very busy studio right now.
I saw them as I was walking into the studio and I saw them from behind and I immediately knew that they were our guests today because it is two sets of identical twins. And they both married their significant identical twin.
There you go.
You got it. Right.
It's two pairs of identical twins that are married.
That's right.
Which is kind of incredible.
And I have a list of questions that I'm racking up in my head right now.
Well, let's introduce our guests. We have identical twin sisters, Brittany and Brianna. Dean.
Dean.
Oh, my God. Okay, Dean.
I was just telling them the story that there was this girl in high school that I went to high school with, and her last name was Dean, and I always told her, I was like, if we get married, I'm taking your last name so I could be Dean. Dean.
Yes. Well, your last name is spelled with an E at the end. Your
that's right.
First name,
oh, we dropped the E first.
So it'd be Dean. Dean.
I mean, obviously, we don't have to worry about it, but, you know.
And then we have their significant other. There's their husband, their twin brothers, Joshua and Jeremy Salyers.
That's right.
Sally.
Oh, you did it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I got one of two of the last names right. 50-50. Well, thank you guys for joining us today.
Thanks,
we really appreciate
so much for having
it.
Us.
You guys are all wearing the same thing, too. Well, not all four, but the two sisters are wearing the same thing.
That's what I was talking about when I saw them from behind, because Brianna and Brittany are both wearing yellow jackets, and then Joshua and Jeremy are both wearing gray blazers. Mm. And like Matt, it's perfect. It's
it really is
perfect in every single way.
You guys both have the square pocket in. You guys are ready to go.
And I was going to ask you this earlier. How common is it for identical twins to have enunciated first names? Or not enunciated, alliterative. Yeah.
It's very common. Yeah, so when we go to the Twins Festival, which is actually where the four of us met.
Wait. I'm sorry to interrupt you. The Twins Festival?
You didn't hear about this?
Right.
Well, let's put everything in perspective. So you guys have a show coming out on TLC. And
right.
That airs Monday night, correct?
That's right. Our Twin Sane Wedding.
Twin Sane Wedding.
Twin Sane in the Membrane.
Twin Sane in the Membrane. Vinny Vinsane would have a run for his money. So you guys have this show coming out. Now, you are already married.
Yes.
And this is awesome. and you guys are you documented your wedding. And when was it was 2018. When did you guys get married?
August 4th.
August 4th.
Yes,
congratulations.
Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
We actually got married in Twinsburg, which is a real place.
Okay.
And it's in Ohio. And every August, twins and multiples take over that city. So that's why we chose to have our wedding then there.
Well, that's where you met.
Exactly.
So what year did you guys meet?
the previous year.
Oh, so 2017.
Right, so I wish you guys right. met next year. You know what I mean? 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll have babies that year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Now, that could be great. And you could have the Twin Sane Wedding Part 2.
Exactly.
Babies edition. Exactly. Twins
right.
edition. Because
right.
if you guys... So, actually, the question is, do you guys have more... I'm thinking ahead here. Is there a more likelihood to have twins?
There must be.
We know that fraternal twins...
is genetic.
That's right.
Yeah.
So... all of us were identical twins. We're mirror image identical twins. But there's got to be, I think, a little bit more of a chance that we'll have identical twins. But identical twins are kind of a fluke of nature.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see.
You'll read the fraternals will run in the family, but everybody basically has the same chance of having an identical twin. But
there's got to be a better chance that we'll have.
So when you guys met, did you guys meet each other at the same time? Or did one of you show interest in the other first?
We all met at the exact same moment.
Okay.
Hold on, before we move any further, can I just, okay, so Joshua and Jeremy. Joshua and Jeremy.
Right.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. I'm Jared, great J name. All J's all around. And then Brittany
mm-hmm.
and Brianna.
And Brianna. Yes.
Brianna,
yes.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
It's Brianna and Joshua.
It's Brianna and Jeremy.
Jeremy. Okay. And then Brittany and Joshua.
Yes.
And Jared and Dean.
And Jared and Dean.
And Easton.
And Easton.
Exactly.
Okay, so you guys met at the Twins Festival in Ohio.
Yeah.
How did you hear of this Twin Festival?
We had heard of this festival when we were little. Our father told us about it, and it was this magical place we dreamed about going. Yeah, pre-internet, it was this huge huge story in the paper, and I remember we always wanted to go. We said we would, and we started going, maybe 2011.
Okay.
Brittany and I have been going to
the festival. An annual thing for you guys to go to. And are only twins allowed at the festival?
No. Everybody can come.
I'm going next year. What time of year is it?
August.
Early August.
The first weekend of August.
Nothing like a beautiful August day in Ohio.
And it's in Ohio. What part of Ohio?
Twinsburg.
It's close to Cleveland.
Oh, okay. Very nice. I can't believe there's a place called that where you guys have the Twin Festival where two sets of twins met. And now we're married.
That was like when like all of the planets aligned together. I don't know what it's called, but that was that moment.
Yes.
It's called Twinsburg.
That's what it's called.
Twins getting married in Twinsburg where they met.
So you guys have been going since 2011. Jeremy and Joshua, how long have you guys been going?
We met them on our first year. That's the first time ever.
So we were so lucky.
Yeah, knocked
we had
out
been
of the
told
park.
About the festival growing up, and we really didn't think too much about it. And that year we just on a whim decided to pack up and check out the Twins Festival in Twinsburg.
Walk us through the initial encounter with each other.
We had seen Josh and Jeremy earlier.
And you're like, wow, those guys are hot.
Yeah, we were like, they're so hot. That's exactly right. And they were just in the sea of twins, right? So it's this huge gathering of twins, but we spotted them. They were this handsome vision.
And they're tall. They're very tall.
Yeah, they're very tall.
How tall are you guys?
Around 6'4".
Yeah.
Big boys.
Yeah. And we're not.
We're not.
And so we couldn't get to them fast enough. They were too fast for us, so we didn't get to introduce ourselves.
And then later is when we actually all...
The last night of the festival.
Last night.
Yeah, so actually towards the end of the festival that year, Brittany and I walked in to this conference center where a party was going on for all the twins, and Josh and Jeremy are coming down toward us. From the other side of the corridor.
We were actually leaving. We were on our way out of the festival entirely. We were getting
ready to go home.
Pack up and leave.
Oh, wow.
So we almost missed them.
So you ladies exercised some very great patience then, right? Because you saw them initially and you're like, those guys, something about them. And then you waited until you met them later on. And then you just approached them and said, hi, we're...
Yeah,
well, they approached
first?
Us, so we were so excited because they came up and spoke with us.
Nice to know,
these guys, we'd seen.
They did well.
We had our eye on them. Throughout the festival too. Yeah. We just never had the opportunity to talk to them, and really we just thought they were too beautiful for us and they're out of our so league. We were just hoping to get a picture.
I think they are too beautiful for you guys.
You guys are too nice to us. So sweet.
Doesn't that bring you back to like memories of being like seeing the girl across from the bar? Well, you're still doing it, I guess, so it's different. But no. But that's a good thing. But just like that awkwardness, but that excites you, where you see someone, you're like, wow, they're really cute, I'd love to talk to them. And then hours go by, right? And then you kind of keep seeing them, and then finally eight hours go by, and like that's your moment, because you're like, okay, it's now or never. And then you kind of cross paths and you're walking next to each other, and you're like, Oh, hey, how are you? I remember one time, this is so creepy. I was like, I must have been like 19 or 20, but there was a girl at the gym that I was really attracted to, and I didn't know how to go up to her. I don't want to approach a girl at the gym. And so literally, I was done with my workout, but she was still in the treadmill. So I just continued working out, like doing the dumbest thing for 45 minutes, just kind of like lingering by. And then she walked out. My whole plan was like, oh, I have an idea. When we're walking out, I'll hold the door for her, and that's my in right there, right? Easy.
Yeah.
So, of course, what happens? I wait for like 45 minutes. I finally see her walking out, so I'm like walking next to her, hold the door open, and she goes, thank you. And I was like, you're welcome, and walk to my car. And I was like, I'm such an idiot. I waited all of this time. I had my plan ready to go. It worked perfectly, and I just failed to execute it. So good job for you guys for like – not failing at that moment.
It takes courage, yes. Yeah. They made it happen. And then they drove, which was a very big deal to us. They drove like 7 hours to see us.
Wow.
This was a huge deal to me and Brittany.
It's a big gesture.
And it was a huge gesture.
So you guys met, you guys talked, hit it off, exchanged numbers.
Right.
And then like the next weekend you guys drove to see him 7 hours?
It was shortly thereafter. Yeah. And then actually every week after that, and we became inseparable, and they just kept coming to see us and take us on dates, and 7-8 hours was nothing to them.
And okay, so when you guys met, was there an instant like division of, okay, I'm interested in him, I'm interested in him, or how did that work?
Yes. It was exactly that. You know, I was drawn to Brittany just immediately, as Jeremy was to Brianna, and it was just immediate connection there.
Yeah, we had the initial greeting, and we talked to the group, and as we progressed in the conversation, we split off, and it was me and Brianna and Josh and Brittany, and it was just a natural connection. And we happen to be the older twins.
Okay.
And they're the younger twins.
Actually, we paired off by birth order.
Separated by 5 minutes also.
I can tell you guys are much more mature.
Far more mature.
We're just really young and hip.
So you guys are 5 minutes apart. So Jeremy and Joshua, you're older one.
Yes.
And... sorry, Jeremy, you're the older one. Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
And then, Brianna, you are 5 minutes older than Brittany.
Correct.
Yes.
Is it usually about 5 minutes? Is there an interesting time lapse that happens between twins?
It varies. Very
30 seconds. We've heard hours and hours.
Imagine being a mom and giving birth and then be like, by the way, done yet.
Oh,
but you gotta wait 4 more hours before you do this all over again.
If I was the older twin, if I was like 5 minutes older, I would constantly be texting my younger twin and be like, when I was your age.
Like looking into the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. So you guys got married last year, and we can finally watch it on Monday on TLC. That's amazing.
So what made you decide to do this whole documentary of really your wedding?
I mean, clearly because we're not blown away by anything over here right
now. We're just used to publicizing our relationships. It's terrible.
No, I'm kidding. Like this is still, I'm still absolutely blown away. But yeah, what was the whole process like?
It started with the proposal.
Right.
And we decided to propose to them at the same time.
Aww.
And so we had this big elaborate proposal planned. And
we're going to be able to see that on the show, yeah?
Well,
the proposal aired
on Inside Edition.
Good.
Yes. And so
Valentine's
they might do a
flashback. Last year.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes,
that's
right.
When it aired.
Right. And that's kind of where things took off. So Josh and Jeremy did this beautiful proposal. They had us tricked. They had us thinking that we were going to film a commercial to advertise this place called Twin Lakes. So we thought we were going to be in a commercial.
Wait, that's in Colorado.
It's in Virginia, but there probably is a Twin Lakes in Colorado, too.
Dean, why don't you just let the adults talk?
The older twins.
Okay.
You're probably right. But anyway, the camera crew turned out to be, when the director said action for this commercial, it turned out to be Inside Edition, and Josh and Jeremy both dropped to one knee and proposed, and so the whole thing was on camera.
Did you propose first because you're older?
No. Actually, we did it at the exact
simultaneously.
Same time.
Okay.
I thought
then you'd be like, well, you're like, all right, you're going to have to wait 5 minutes until you can actually ask your proposal.
We often will say things at the same time, just like they will, but we really wanted to nail that one.
Yeah.
We weren't going to get a second take on it or anything.
Oh, so you guys said it in unison.
They
amazing.
Said it in unison.
Do you guys ever confuse each other? Has that ever happened? Have you ever just gone up to Jeremy and been like, Joshua, have you seen, like, I'm your fiancé?
Here's the thing. We all look alike, right? I mean, we look alike. So
I don't see the resemblance.
But, from behind or from the side, it happens.
Yeah, of course.
It happens sometimes. I think that Josh and Jeremy look the most alike in the mornings.
Okay.
Interesting.
Before they've, like, done their hair.
Yes. And I
Well, I can see that. Oh, and you guys both swoop it to the right.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Similar hairstyles, looking good.
And when we don't have on makeup and we're not done up, we look the most alike. So that is when, that's like the danger zone.
Right? Yeah. So breakfast is the danger zone. Morning coffee, watch out. Do you guys all live together?
Yes.
We all live together under one roof.
Wow. And how long have you lived together for?
No, you're killing it.
Since August.
We were... made it easy for filming.
So we're still learning. Like, we're still getting used to.
Yeah. Because I'm sure the girls have lived together for a while, right? And the guys as well.
Yeah, we've always worked and lived together our whole life. And we plan to continue doing that. And
have you ever not lived with each other? The siblings, this is now.
We were apart for maybe a year. I went out, got my own apartment. Uh-huh. And we lived separately. And we just didn't like it.
Well, this sucks.
So two of my really good friends are identical twins as well, and they went to separate colleges. One went to college in Colorado, one went to college in Washington, and they were like, those 4 years were so hard to be apart from each other.
Exactly.
We
split up for about 5 years, Brittany and I did, and it was really hard, and you know, you never get those years back.
Right.
Interesting.
It's because it's something that obviously someone that doesn't have a twin wouldn't really be able to understand, because you're just like, oh, it's just a sibling. But no, there's like a connection that you guys have that's a little bit deeper than a regular sibling would have. Of course.
Right, it's insane. I mean, I had to learn how to do everything all over again by myself.
Right, so most people, like in kindergarten, they learn to walk into class by themselves, and that's something we never learned. So it wasn't until we separated, we were in our 20s, that I learned to like walk into a grocery store or to school alone.
That's.
Do you think that it's more of a genetic thing why you guys are so close, or because, like you said, you did everything together growing up?
I think it's both, but I think there is something to the genetic thing. You just are born with this esoteric, just very strong bond.
I would agree with that.
Do you finish each other's sentences, or do you have like a certain, like, do you know when, like, for example, Brittany, do you know when Brianna is just hurting or sad, or like even when she's not near you, like something's wrong?
Yes, I definitely know when something's wrong, and it's the same vice versa. I remember I had appendicitis, so I had to go get my appendix out, and I was not with Brianna at the time.
It was so terrible.
It was awful. She called me freaking out, like, oh my gosh, I can tell that you're so sick. Mm. What is going on? So we definitely have that connection.
It's like a quantum entanglement, you know? It's like they can feel what's going on.
Right.
So are you guys, plan on having kids?
Yes.
I would assume. Tell me that process. Are we going to have the kids together at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully so.
Ideally.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
Right.
They would like to experience that aspect of their life together also. If we could make that happen, that would be pretty awesome.
And obviously,
that's the goal.
It's challenging to make that happen together, but you're going to...
Logistics involved.
As long as you guys have open communication, you should be fine. Be like, are we on the same...
Well, we're trying to destigmatize menstruation anyways, right?
That's true.
So
might as well just put it out there. Put it out in there for everybody to know.
What about like vacations and stuff? So as a couple now. So it's interesting because as the girls growing up together, you guys were inseparable, right? And then as the guys, you were inseparable as well. But now as couples, are you inseparable? Or as couples, can you kind of go off and do your own thing without necessarily worrying about the other?
Four of us are together a lot of the time, but we do split off sometimes into couples. Mm-hmm. You know, like we went on, for example, a joint honeymoon. We all went to Prince Edward Island for our honeymoon.
Beautiful.
Same resort, different rooms. Yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great oysters.
Different rooms.
I don't know if you guys eat oysters.
I'm sure you guys turn a lot of heads as you're walking down the street, right?
We get double takes. Yeah. That's right.
Double takes.
<They're light.
laughs> So you're all living under one house. Do you guys, is it... For me, I guess from an outsider, it looks like you guys are kind of all in on this together. I don't mean to sound weird like that, but it just seemed like this bond almost. Like you guys are going through this marriage, this journey together. Would you agree, or like did Dean, like Dean said, is it individual couples where you guys are just kind of?
It's almost like you didn't marry one person, you married two people, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. I understand.
Jeremy said this, I think, really great phrase that kind of summed it up, that we weren't looking for the one, we were looking for the ones. Because we feel it's...
That's funny.
It's, you know, we're twins looking for our double dose of Prince Charming. We found them, and we are all four in it very much together.
Were you guys looking for twins today? I think I read that somewhere, right?
Yes, that was the dream.
That was our dream since we were little girls.
Dream came true.
And the dream came true. That's right.
You're identical twin princes, absolutely. How about you guys?
Yeah, that was definitely something that we had... always thought was just going to be the only way that that we could get married is if we found our twins out there. And so we went to Twins Days. You know, we didn't go there with that sole, you know, intent.
Of course.
But,
it was there.
You know, open to it. You wanted to self-fulfill the prophecy or something like that, right?
And, you know, we hit the jackpot.
First try.
First time we went. So
so at the wedding then, which we'll see on TV, what was that like? You guys had the same wedding dress?
We picked out identical gowns.
And tuxedos are a little bit easier to pick out identical tuxedos.
How about,
they're all the same.
How about, how about cakes? Was there one cake, two cakes, same
cakes?
We
had two cakes. That's a good question. We had two
identical cakes.
Yes. And the theme was of our wedding was Twice Upon a Time. So it was a double fairy tale.
Aw, that's really cute. How's marriage life been? Because you guys have been married since August.
Right.
So you're five months in, just about? I don't know. I'm not good at math.
Yeah.
That was
life is good. Life is twinsane, but in a good way.
That's always amazing.
Are there ever disagreements either among the siblings or the couples?
Sure. Sure. We have our moments, of course.
But nothing.
I think we get along. Brittany and I get along better now. Like Josh and Jeremy have made our relationship better.
They've done the same thing for us. They've made us better twins.
Wow.
That makes sense.
How so?
Well, we can understand our bond through them. We can see how they interact and to share it, you know, romantically, and have my twin and their twins.
We understand the bond.
Most twins, like the town that we're from, you know, we're kind of the twins in the area. You know, it's not twins running around everywhere. So we don't really get to see other twins interacting with each other or really understand our own relationship as compared to another set of twins, right? So we get to understand more about ourselves.
It's like there was a strong foundation for understanding someone else before you had even ever met them, right? Because they had gone through so much of what you've already gone through as a twin.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what's next for you guys? Are you still living? You don't live in Ohio. That's just where the festival was.
We don't.
But I'm in the Midwest, I would assume.
We all live in Virginia.
Okay, Virginia.
Currently.
Okay.
What part?
I'm not too far from Richmond.
Oh, okay. So my fiance was raised in Great Falls.
That's right.
Yeah,
I read that. That's cool.
Yeah.
So what's next for you guys? You're going to stay in Virginia.
Don't know if we're going to be making a move or not, but big things coming.
Well, share the big things.
We're hoping to be starting a business, the four of us together soon.
We're
going
to
start our
family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can make that double pregnancy happen.
There you go.
How old are you guys again?
Brianna and I are 32.
Okay.
She's 32 in 5 minutes more.
Yeah, that's right.
That's fair.
You had to throw that in there.
And we're 35.
Okay, great. Oh, okay.
Well, what's this big business you guys are thinking about?
Yeah, can you
hear
that,
or is that something you guys are kind of keeping under wraps for now?
Sure. We plan to have an amazing wedding venue and a boutique hotel that the four of us will run together. Brianna and I are attorneys, and so we say, you know, we get divorced like 100 times a year, and we want to get married 100 times a year instead. So
that's incredible.
To even it out, to just come up with a net neutral end of the year, right?
Right.
That makes sense.
I feel like you guys are like living the dream a little bit, because a lot of times in marriages or relationships, you become so close with that significant other that your best friend kind of gets left behind a little bit, and relationships change and friendships change. But not for you guys, because I'm assuming your best friend was your sibling, it sounds like, for each respective family. And so not only are you guys so close with your significant other now, but you're still able to keep that close relationship with your best friend that you've grown up and have all these experiences with.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I got to talk to Ashley and we got to figure something out here. I got to live with my best friend. Dean, you want to live together?
Yeah, let's live together, buddy.
There you go.
Anyways, for the listeners out there that want to watch the Twinsane wedding, so you're going to wake up, you're going to listen to this podcast, and what you're going to do when you go to bed or just get ready for bed is watch the Twinsane wedding on TLC, and watch this magic unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
That's what I'm going to be doing, at least.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm super excited for you guys.
And what else? So for the listeners out there, if they want to follow you on social, is there anything else that they can do to follow your guys' journey?
We use hashtag our Twinsane wedding.
Okay.
And hashtag Salyer's Twins.
Salyer's Twins.
Oh, we're all Salyer's Twins now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, huh?
So
that's pretty cool.
Thank you.
That's amazing. You guys, congratulations
on the
wedding.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming in, guys. We're excited.
Fun to meet you.
This has been an incredible experience for all of us, I hope. So thank you for coming.
For us, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
we'll be tuning in Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night, February 11th, 10, 9 central, our Twinsane wedding on TLC. Check it out.
Dean, how are you sleeping at night?
You know, Jared, I could always sleep a little bit better. Why do you ask?
Well, because I ask, because I care about you as a human being. I care about you as a friend. And I want you to get the best night's rest you could possibly get. And the only way to do that is to get Sleep Number. Have you heard of Sleep Number?
I've heard of them, yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed, but thought you couldn't afford one, possibly. Maybe this podcast isn't paying you enough, but you can really afford... Can you afford another restless night? That's my question to you.
Not enough coffee in the world can help me afford another night.
That's a true statement. There's never been a better time to save on a proven quality bed. Now, during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, a Queen 360 Smart Bed starts at only $899.
And these beds, apparently, Jared, are so, so smart. They sense your every move and automatically adjust it to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. Sleep Number has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by JD Power, and you can check that out at jdpower.com.
Ashley and I kind of disagree on whether we like a soft bed, a firm bed, but the good thing about Sleep Number beds is they let you choose your ideal firmness on each side so it gets just the right for both of you. Because it really is, man. It's crazy going from sleeping in your bed for so many years by yourself to sleeping with... in a bed with your significant other for the rest of your life. And so we're lucky that we're pretty easy, but man, sometimes I just need her to sleep on the couch.
My significant other.
Give me the bed by myself for one night.
My significant other is a plush Simba toy that doesn't really fight back very
ooh,
often.
Ooh, that's very
so
nice.
Pretty good. But what you guys can do as the listeners is come in during the Ultimate Sleep Number event and save 50% off a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. All you have to do is visit sleepnumber.com/Dean to find the store nearest you.
And Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, which my Patriots just won their sixth Super Bowl.
I feel like you added that in there just so you could brag about the Patriots.
Obviously, I saw the NFL. I was like, jackpot. It's awesome, guys. It's pretty good being a Patriots fan.
They have 575 stores nationwide. So if you're a football fan, if you're anything but a Patriots fan, be sure to visit sleepnumber.com/Dean to find the store nearest you. Like we said earlier, you can save 50% off a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. So check it out. Well, what do we think about the Twins?
Well, that was double the fun if you ask me.
Nice.
They were awesome. They were so sweet.
They're very sweet. They're they did everything right, but I'm still a little creeped out.
Well, I wanted to ask, but I felt I didn't want to offend them, if... in previous relationships, if they were ever interested in the same person. Because that's interesting to me.
Well,
two twins.
Let's get them back in here and ask them. That's a good question.
It is a good question, but they were talking so much about their wedding and engagement. And I was like, am I going to be really the jackass
stir
right
the
now?
Pot.
And it's like, all right, well, forget about the happiness you guys have right now. Let's get into the nitty gritty of the fights that you guys had about. Because imagine this, Dean. Imagine Emily and Haley, right? They're both identical twins, both beautiful. They both like you. How do you deal with that situation? Because, I mean,
if I was me, if I was the twin, because I would deal with it differently. If I was me, I'd be like, heck yeah, let's go.
Let's just do it all the way. Would you want a thruple? Not with just them. Would you ever do a thruple with twins? Not just Emily and Haley, but twins in general.
Sure. I mean, I don't think I'd do a thruple to begin with. But what's the difference? I mean, no, actually, you know what? I wouldn't do a thruple with twins because what's the point of having a thruple if you're dating two of the same people? Granted, obviously, twins aren't the same people. But
so
it's
you
like,
want a little variety.
Yeah, it's all about you kind of go with the inverse of the first person to fulfill the whatever the need is that you want to have a thruple for. I don't know what I'm saying.
So what you're saying is if you're in a thruple, you'd want one blonde and one brunette type thing.
No, if I was in a thruple, I would want one blonde and I would want one, I don't know, what's the opposite of a blonde? I was thinking like I was gonna say I was trying to go like creatively opposite,
and it just failed.
It failed pretty miserably.
Well, you know what are you gonna do? I think I'm excited to see their wedding.
I'm gonna watch.
I'm definitely gonna watch.
They were very nice. Like at the end,
they were very nice. It is the only part that makes me not weirded out, but the idea of getting pregnant at the same time.
So I was actually thinking that just as we were taking pictures, is what if one of the couples gets pregnant and the other's unable to? I think that could lead to some sort of like depressive.
Well, of course, because that could cause issues. But even one of the guys, when we were talking off air, said like, well, we hoped, you know, it works out. But, you know, he said something along the lines of it's not in our control.
Of course.
Thing.
Well, of course.
So,
but I'm saying if one of the couples gets pregnant and the other one is unable to, I think the couple that wasn't able to get pregnant is going to be, even though a couple that gets pregnant, they're going to be sad, because they're going to want their children to be brought up together. They're going to want to go through the same experiences together at the same time as they have their entire life. So it's like, it's almost like they're setting themselves up for failure.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, you know, it's if they are able to get pregnant at the same time, then all the better.
Then it'll all work out. It's interesting, their dynamic, because the individualism of each relationship, it just doesn't feel like it's there. It does feel, even when I was talking to them, it does feel, now granted, I met them for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It does feel like a big relationship. Not a bad thing, because there is ups and downs to that, right? Because you really have your best friend going through something the same exact thing you're going through right now. You all live under one house.
What if you think one of them wants to get a divorce? Do you think that means that both of them have to get divorces?
Like, I don't know.
If one of them starts to be like, if Josh is like, well, Brittany, yeah, she's just, you know, it's not really going well, so I think I want to get separated. Does that mean Jeremy is like, oh, crap, I guess I have to do the same thing down?
Well, it would create some serious awkwardness because they have done so much of this relationship together thus far that, like, say, hold on. It was Jeremy and Brianna.
To be honest, I still have no idea.
It was Jeremy and Brianna, and it was Joshua and Brittany. So if Joshua was like, hey, it's not working out with Brittany, we're going to get divorced, that does create a super awkwardness because his best friend, Joshua, is still married to Brianna, and they're living under the same house. Would that mean that Brittany would have to move out too? Because
I'm sure you watched the show Entourage, yeah?
Yeah.
There's an episode where he has an employee who's a twin, and his employee comes in complaining about how his twin brother slept with his wife. Do you remember that episode? I couldn't stop thinking about it when we were doing that interview. So Ari
has a friend that's a twin.
So Ari has two employees and they're twin brothers.
Yep.
And one of those twin brothers has a wife, and that wife slept with her husband's brother, twin.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Cheating on his identical twin brother.
Yeah, but did she know in the show? Did she know that it was the other brother? Or
so that's what Ari asks, because he's like,
this episode now. Yes, yes.
Did she cheat on you with you, or did she cheat on you with him? It was the question.
And did she knowingly cheat? That's the problem. Like, for example, what if, like, the twin brother was just an asshole and was like, I'm going to see if I could pull one over on her. Kind of like me, myself, and Irene. I don't know. Granted, this is a little different because it was a
timely reference.
I know. It was
He was a schizophrenic.
But technically, he was like two different people. And Hank, who was the bad one,
I remember that
pulled one over Renee Zellweger's character and just pretended he was the other guy.
Hey, Irene, why am I peeing like I had sex last night?
That scene pops up in my head like every week. Like, I think about that all the time.
That movie is so underrated.
That was actually,
nobody talks about that, about being Jim Carrey's one of his funniest movies, and it might be his funniest movie.
That was the second movie I ever saw in theaters with my mom.
You saw that with your mom?
I was like 10 years old.
Oh, God.
So it's
that sounds horrifying.
It holds a special place in my heart.
That is one of the dirtiest movies I can remember. There's an F word every other word.
Oh, yeah, my mom was a badass. She's like, let's go see this.
Good for you. That's amazing. Anyway, well, that was a very interesting segment, and I'm very fascinated to watch Monday night. But we also have Tori in studio here.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Tori. How are you?
You guys have heard from Tori in the past. She's a producer on the podcast. She likes to hide in the shadows, but sometimes we are able to coax her into coming on to the air.
Sometimes she chimes in from time to time.
Yeah.
But it's mostly when Vanessa's not here, because we just need
perspective.
A female, not only a female perspective, but we just need somebody to really, you know, rein us in sometimes. Sometimes Dean and I can get a little crazy. And
yeah, I should be being paid double time, to be honest.
Seriously.
On monitoring you guys, having to keep you guys humble.
Mark's not here. Amy's not here. Vanessa's not here. You have to deal with me, Dean, and Easton.
If you picture, like, herding kittens as, that's, like, what I feel like I do.
Oh, come on.
Are you calling us kittens?
Really cute kittens?
We're dogs. That's what we are. We're animals. We're not kittens.
I like to think of myself as a polar bear.
I think of Dean as a puppy, actually.
That's your spirit animal? A polar bear?
Yeah.
That's kind of a good one.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what's yours?
Well, he's a California boy. It makes sense.
Wait, why?
What?
I was saying that you're threatened by climate change, just like polar bears are.
Oh, yeah. I hate climate change. Do you see
chemicals. Is that why? You just don't use soap? You don't use chemicals? Because really, you're like, it hurts the polar bears.
No, that's, I think, for his own selfish reasons.
As much as you can do in your life to reduce your carbon footprint, you should be doing it.
So what do you do?
What kind of car do you drive?
Good question.
No, what do you do?
I guess my gas mileage is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's what I want to know, polar bear.
I don't overuse. I use everything in moderation.
Yeah, no, you're pretty good about the environment. My question is, though, why is the polar bear your spirit animal?
I just love them. They're my number one favorite animal. I picture myself as one. They're powerful, but they're still loving.
Are they loving?
Do you believe in reincarnation?
I do not believe in reincarnation.
So you don't think, like, in a past life you were a polar bear?
Well,
aren't polar bears super aggressive?
Well, yeah, they're killing machines.
Yeah. How are they? Didn't you just say they're soft?
Yeah, I'm sure they're soft. Like, physically, if you touch a polar bear, you'll be, wow, things are really soft.
Until it claws off your arm.
Here's the thing with bears and any animal in general. Like a polar. So my five favorite animals go polar bear, lion, tiger, grizzly bear, wolf. And they're all alpha predators, right, essentially? I genuinely think that if I were to ever encounter any one of those five animals in the wild, I would be able to befriend it.
Mm.
And I don't even...
Like the grizzly man. The grizzly man died.
He died because he thought he could do the same thing.
He died doing what he loved.
But he died because he had this stupid idea.
But he lived among the grizzly bears for two decades.
He did, but then there was... And granted, apparently there was a bear who was just a bad bear. And he knew this.
Yeah.
Like, he had really bad vibes about him, or he did some aggressive behavior. And that was the bear that ended up killing him.
Yeah. And he wanted to befriend that bear even more than the other bears. But I'm serious. I literally think that if I came across a bear in the wild, I would.
How would you do this? Do you have a pot of honey under your arm?
I wouldn't coax it. I wouldn't do that.
Honestly, he doesn't have a plan. Jared, spirit animal?
I think that we would have a mental connection that would go beyond words.
Hmm.
And because of that connection, like the twins have.
The twin telepathy with bears.
Exactly.
I get it.
We would approach each other. We would walk up to each other calmly, knowing that neither of us is a threat to the other. And we would fully embrace each other with arms around.
This actually makes me very nervous because, Dean, you travel alone so much that I can just see you one time traveling in God knows where, and you're in some sort of jungle with no service on your phone, thinking to yourself, I got this. I can do this. This is my moment. This is my spirit animal. A bear is in front of me. I am going to try to hug the bear.
But the bear would also be trying to hug me is the thing.
No.
I wouldn't misread the situation. I know when to give and when to
take.
This
is like a lot like your dating life, I feel like. You're like, I don't misread the conversation. And it's like, well, what's this title of the podcast?
I don't misread anything. Yeah. I'll be fine on Paradise.
Okay. Wait, touché.
I actually do want to know, Jared, what's your spirit animal?
I actually haven't thought about what my spirit animal is.
What's your favorite animal?
It's such a cliche, but of course it's a dog.
No. Non-domesticated.
Non-domesticated?
Yeah.
Favorite animal?
Yep.
A hawk.
American of you.
So American of me. But I also, it's the idea of flying.
Yeah.
That's what really fascinates me.
Sure. I guess... My favorite animal and an animal that I would want to be for a day would be different. Because you're right. It would be cool to be a bird and fly through the air.
Of course.
You can't change it. You've already said you're a polar bear.
I said my favorite animal is a polar bear, but if I could be any animal for a day.
That's different than your spirit animal.
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
It is different than my spirit animal, I guess. Because I don't know what my spirit animal that would be non-domesticated. Because I'm so domesticated as a human being. I'm such a homebody.
And I'm so wild.
Okay. Let's bring this back to dating. What would be a red flag spirit animal you would have if a girl at a dinner was like, you're like, hey, what's your spirit animal? What would
Spider.
Be a red flag?
Butterfly?
No, they're so innocent and sweet.
No, I know, but it seems like a cliche answer to give.
It is. But I've always believed cliches are there because they're just so popular.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why a cliche is a cliche because they're just popular.
But you know how anti-conformity I am. Like, if someone, I don't want to fit into the mold.
You rebel, you polar bear.
Did you guys see that news article about... The jogger in Colorado.
No.
So a guy was jogging through Colorado like a couple days ago, and a mountain lion pounced on him from behind.
Wait, that's real.
And the guy killed the mountain lion.
Holy shit.
And then walked to the hospital and got his wounds
with his bare
up.
Hands.
He choked a mountain lion out.
Wow.
And part of me is like, I think I could do that too.
Oh god.
if the mountain lion was refusing to be my friend, which I don't think would happen. I think he would be.
He'd be
receptive to being my homie.
He definitely would follow me on Instagram.
I would be able to grab him by the throat and end his life to save my own.
I mean, unless you were able to read the situation so well, because the idea of you going into a situation with a mountain lion thinking we're going to be best friends, fast forward 4 seconds later to you choking this thing out, I don't think you could change your mindset that quickly.
The thing with the mountain lion is you don't see the mountain lion until it's already on top of you, you know, because they're like experts at stealth.
So what if you think this mountain lion is just trying to cuddle with you?
I'd be like,
it hurts.
Honey.
No, easy. No, just a little cut of it. Don't bite.
And then he digs his teeth in, and then I'm like, all right, you've gone too far.
All right, that's it. That's the moment right there. Did this jogger Was he a badass in real life, or did he just...
I don't think they've shared his name yet, so no one knows who it is exactly, but they've shared the story, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious if this guy had any type of military training, or if he was a cop, or some sort of... Because the idea of, like, a third grade teacher who's just going on a jog in the morning, nothing against third grade teachers. Let me put this, the idea of a reality TV personality choking out a mountain lion seems a little...
I mean, I could do it.
Stray.
I'm telling you right now, but...
I mean, that's pretty powerful. All right, we gone way off topic. Hold on, so did you... Oh, you said butterflies.
Is no, I take it back. Animal? It was just the first... Because I love butterflies. Butterflies are my favorite insect by far.
Why?
They're symbolic of angels. They're super majestic. Actually, I'll tell a real story.
So are moths symbolic of demons?
I don't know.
Heard butterflies have like a really beautiful story.
Yeah, I'm going to share a story. It's a real story.
Happened to you personally.
I'm going
to
take away from the joking aside for a second. So I have a tattoo on my back for my friend Hunter, who got hit by a truck when I was 10. I don't know if I've shared that with you ever.
Yes.
And 5 minutes before he got hit by a truck, I remember this like beautiful yellow monarch butterfly. We were riding our bikes and we were like sitting there, and this beautiful yellow monarch butterfly landed on the ground. And I remember he rolled his bike over onto it intentionally and killed the butterfly. And he's like, look at me, I killed this. But we're 10 year olds, you know, like we're just like,
yeah, you don't think anything of it.
We love chaos. So we're just like doing that. And I was like, and I remember it so distinctly. And then literally 5 minutes later is when he got hit by the truck. So now every time I see a butterfly fly by me, I'm like, that's my boy Hunter. Thinking of me. So I have his initials on my back, and then I've got a butterfly flying over his initials.
That's really sweet.
So I love butterflies. So if a girl said her spirit animal is a butterfly, I'd be like,
she's probably the one.
Listen up, ladies.
Yeah.
You're going to get so many DMs being like, butterfly's always been mine.
Butterfly.
Is there a butterfly emoji?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, you're going to be flooded with
that. And anytime anyone says they have like a butterfly tattoo, I'm like, okay, that's badass. I love it.
Yeah, that's a good step right there.
The Game had a butterfly tattoo on his face, and then he got it covered up by the Dodgers logo.
Oh, so that was a mistake. He should have kept it.
I know.
Did he say why he had a butterfly tattoo?
He was in a gang called...
The Butterfly.
All right,
it was a gang thing. Yeah.
All right, so I don't know if there's a red flag for a spirit animal. If somebody said something like...
Cockroach.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be more interested.
Tori, what's
like,
a cockroach?
Yeah, like if somebody was like a cockroach, I'd be like, that is like one of the most hated and undeserving little characters on this earth.
Not an animal.
Well, sorry, that's true.
No, that's fair.
But like, why? Like, why would you want to be like, people flush that down the toilet? Why do you feel like that's
a squirrel?
I'm kind of intrigued with squirrels.
I'm a little intrigued with squirrels,
too. They're planners because they store everything for winter. They got like, they're on their game.
It's really hard to think of an animal that's not an insect that's hard to justify.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
it's like you can't really think of one. Honey badger. Oh, I'm resilient. I'm strong. I can whatever.
So you've thought about that one before.
Well, honey badger. I was thinking there's an NFL player that's called the honey badger because he's a badass.
Yeah. What about catfish?
Yeah, fish would be interesting.
You know, I used to be the manager of a van shoe store. And when I would interview people, I'd ask them, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
Oh.
And that was very interesting. Sometimes the decision was entirely made on that answer.
Yeah.
But a popular one, if a girl said a palm tree.
Out
the door.
Oh, yeah. You like stole the words right out of my mouth.
Pine. What would you be?
Redwood tree.
Oh, redwood. Good. I didn't even think of that. But
tall, long,
thick.
Thick.
Yeah.
Girthy. Protected
exactly
by the government.
Like your body. Yeah. Tall, protected long, girthy, strong, resilient.
Pleasing to a woman, you know, everything.
I was thinking fern, but is a fern a plant?
Fern's a plant.
So it wouldn't necessarily.
I was thinking oak tree. That was the first one that came to mind.
A good one.
All right.
That's what they call it.
What are we going to talk about?
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to dating for a few minutes before we go way off topic with these trees here. Tori, the reason. You're a girl. Mm. You're a woman.
Thank you.
You have three gentlemen in the studio right now.
Yeah.
You have an engaged guy, a single guy, a married guy.
Wow. So much is happening.
So much knowledge within this one studio room. So, my question to you, Tori.
Mm.
Do you have anything you want a guy's perspective on? Because you can get three different perspectives right here.
Just in relationship to who we just had on the show, what is a guy's obsession with twins? Why is that immediately so hot?
Threesome.
Yeah, but don't you think that a twin sister is less likely to have a threesome with her sister?
It's. I never said guys are smart. What I'm saying is that a guy's dream... I'm not saying it's my dream, so please, but for most gentlemen out there... It's probably to sleep with two twins at the same time.
So we've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm anti-threesome, right? So I don't see the appeal of twins. But I guess to Jared's point, I could maybe see why a guy would be so just...
Like, I don't really get it. If anything, it kind of feels overwhelming. I'm like, oh my God, there's two.
Well, it's also like, you know, the idea of... a guy walking in with a woman on each side of him. You know, he walks into a club with a girl on his left arm and a girl on his right arm. You know, it's a power move. It shows that you have swag, that you can get girls. And so the idea of dating twin sisters, it's a power move. And there's also a taboo factor to it, I feel like, that guys are very intrigued by dating sisters, bruh. You know?
I hate it.
I'm not saying I'm a fan
of
it.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. I hate it. But yeah, I guess that's definitely a thing. It makes
you don't like twins? Like, you're not
every twin. I hate twins.
No, I mean, I'm not individually, but the idea of the dream of dating twins.
It's funny because I know, like I said earlier, I have two friends who are twins. They're guys. Like, I went to high school with them and they live in LA. But then there's also these two girls in LA that I've known since I moved here. So like 4 years ago, who are identical twins, and they're both beautiful. And I had a big crush on one of them for like a few months, but I never even thought for a second about the other one. And I was like, "What? Why do I like that one more than that one?" I don't know. It was a weird thing.
No, I hear you. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. So there's like, I don't know. There's like a distinct difference for me having met both of them to be like, okay, I like this one more than that one. Granted, they're both beautiful twins.
But there's also a person. I mean, obviously, there are twins. They're very similar, but I'm sure they have individual personalities as well that come shining through that make them either more attractive or less attractive.
I don't think these twins really had much of a personality to shine through with, but that's what I found out after a while.
I actually have a question about this, but Easton, I want to hear your thoughts. Is there a fascination dating twins?
How long have you been married now, Easton?
I've been married for a year and a half.
And how long have you been dating your wife?
Long time.
I know it was
5 years.
5 years. So you've been out of the game for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like hearing perspective of guys who've just, you know.
I mean,
out of the game for quite some time.
I mean, I've told the story actually on this podcast before, but I dated a fraternal twin, and then I had sex with the other one. Not my proudest moment, but
love that
I did it.
Who would have thought Easton?
Yeah.
I know. And here's the thing.
Wait, why is it not one of your proudest moments?
I felt because I. I feel like felt like a scumbag doing it.
Well, a little bit, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, what happened was I dated this girl who was my friend's older sister, I might add. And we dated for, like, a year. We broke up. I stayed friends with the twin because the three of us hung out all the time. And then the sister didn't want to speak to me anymore, but the twin and I still hung out.
Mm.
Probably inappropriate. And then she started telling me she had the hots for the E-man.
Yeah, the E-man.
Hots.
And I was not in a position to be turning anything down at that point.
Is that your nickname or did somebody give you that?
someone gave it to me. We'll go with that story. I run with it.
My mom called me E-man one time, so I call myself E-man every day, every now and then.
We did, and then she said, I want to date you. I'm interested in you. And I was thinking, like, I can't, that would be, I just felt like that would be too much. You know, like that would destroy things with you and your sister. I couldn't be part of the ability
that us as humans give sex to destroy relationships is so prevalent and so real. It's and so interesting if we think about it, because if you're like, okay, sex can't happen with you because of the potential repercussions that'll come from it, whether it's between the two of us, whether it's between our friends, whatever it's from, it's like there are a lot of good things that can come from sex, of course. But there's also so many bad things that could come from it. Relationships-wise is what I'm talking about.
And
friends.
Physically.
Well, I'm not talking about venereal diseases specifically.
But it's a part of the conversation,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that aside, I'm talking about how it can destroy relationships, whether it's between the two people engaging or whether it's between friends or
yeah, sex changes things.
Can I take this in a little bit of a different direction and
please
ask you guys
do.
A question?
Thank you.
Have you ever broken up with someone or called something off, depending on where you were in the relationship status, because the sex was bad?
Yeah.
Jared?
Mm.
Have you had a discussion to be like, hey, how can we make this better? Are we just like, I'm thrown in the towel?
Yeah. Mine's a hard no.
Hard no. Okay.
Never.
E-man says no, everybody.
E-man has enjoyed every bit of sex he has ever had in his entire life.
I think at the end of the day, some people are sexually compatible and some people aren't. And if you aren't sexually compatible, sure, you can make it better through avenues like communication. But sometimes it's just unachievable to make it better.
Yeah, but I also think there's a quote one time that somebody said, women are attracted to the men they fall in love with, and men fall in love with the women they're attracted to.
Mm.
Do you think that's true?
I don't know.
Dean?
I don't think
I think there's
it's pretty deep.
I think it's a lot of it's true.
That so women fall in love with the man that they're.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me
because I think I can only come from a guy's perspective.
Men learn to love the women they are attracted to. Women learn to become attracted to the man they fall in love with.
Yeah, gotcha.
No, that makes sense.
I think that's because for guys, they like it or not, a lot of the first impression does come from physical appearance, right? Physical attractiveness.
The visceral thing inside
and
of
beauty
us.
Does beauty is an eye beholder, right? Like what I find beautiful, somebody else might not. But like for me, what I do find beautiful is usually the first thing I look at, right? Like whether it's on a dating app, whether that's at a bar, like if I find somebody attractive, I will try to go talk to them in my single days, not anymore. And so I think it's interesting because I think a lot of relationships start with that, and then you'll try to figure out the other things as you go on to make it all work because you are so physically attracted to this person, but and maybe the sex is so good.
The challenging thing about that, I feel like, is do you ever take like economics in college where you have the supply and demand chart where the supply goes bottom left to top right, demand goes top left to bottom right?
Yes.
I feel like that could be similar for how men and women see relationships. A woman starts out not being attracted to a guy, but then ends up being really, really in love with a guy at the end of it. The guy starts out being really, really attracted to her and infatuated by her, and then over time that fades away and fades down. And so there's an intersection at some point, but then they continue to trend in opposite directions because like you said, guys fall in love with who they're attracted to. That attraction can change over time.
Of course.
And then that love that they felt might change with it as well. But if a woman is basing her love off of like being around them and the feeling that she has, then it's only going to get stronger.
Well, hopefully the trend would continue so they would meet at the middle. And then go together.
Surely.
That's the ideal situation.
Sorry, Dean, I hate to interrupt you. I want to take a minute here to talk about something that you will not see on me because remember we tried to date. Dean and I tried that and
that's
it didn't
right.
work out. But my third love bra.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love my third love bras. And let me tell you why I love them. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and a premium feel. They have more sizes than most any other brands. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. So this is great. I fall into that category. And I have to tell you, I have this strapless bra. I hate wearing strapless bras. My Third Love strapless bra, I love it. It's not annoying. It's like because it actually fits me right. And I have to credit it to Third Love. So skip the trip, find your fit with Third Love's online fit finder order and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Okay. So Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering listeners 15% off of your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off of your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Vanessa for 15% off today.
So we want to talk about this new emoji, actually, that the iPhone update is coming
also,
out
I
with.
Just got notified that they're updating the iPhone in general because the FaceTime issue.
Yeah.
So
what's wrong with the FaceTime?
You want to know what's funny is that came out and I received a couple FaceTimes from my friends and I'm like, I know what you're doing and I don't like it. You could call someone via FaceTime, answer for them, and then basically listen to their conversations without them knowing that you're listening.
Hold on. Say that again?
You call into someone's phone FaceTime.
Okay, so if I call you FaceTime.
Yep, and then you, and I never answer it, but you can make me answer from your phone, and that way you can
How?
Hear the conversation that I'm having.
It's a glitch. It's a glitch?
Yeah. It's good that they're fixing that. There's, it's funny, actually, because with the twins here, we talked about it for a very quick second, but obviously they release new emojis all the time.
Yeah.
And with this new emoji release, they are releasing a red blood droplet emoji to join like the emoji lexicon, which is aiming, I guess, to destigmatize menstruation. And how do we feel about that as men?
I love menstruation. I think it's a beautiful process. I just feel like red red drop, that's going to be just blood in general.
I agree.
Give me a pad for
I agree. Yeah. It's a bit ambiguous with the emoji. And like I've said before, I wish I could menstruate because then I wouldn't have to have calendars. I could just get rid of all my calendars.
We've talked about this before.
You just know what day it is of the month.
Yeah, by just through my cycle. I think it's good to destigmatize menstruation. As a guy, like, we're not really prone to, I guess, having it in our lives, right? Like, unless you're married or you're in a real relationship with someone, you don't really, like, I don't think about it on a regular basis.
Well, you're also not a female.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You don't go through
But it. I, as a single man, I have no connection with menstruation in my life whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So, Tori raised her hand.
Well, I was just going to ask, because that is something I would honestly ask when you guys were like, what do you want to know about guys? Like, is it weird to be like, hey, sorry, I'm just on my period, like, or whatever? Like, is it gross you out? Like, what's the element? Because for me, I grew up in a locker room. And so, like, for me, I'm always like, you just, you know, everything's like normal. And, you know, it's not really. I don't know how to ask that in a way where you guys can, like.
When I first heard about this, I was a little taken back, maybe because I'm unaware. I never thought there was really that much of a stigma.
I didn't realize there was menstruation either. But as so for
but
me,
but you don't get grossed out.
No, if someone's like, I'm on a period, I'm sorry, I'd be like, okay.
I got grossed out when I was 15, you know, and a teenager, and I was like, oh, that's you bleed, gross.
I think as an adult, the initiative
it's
here
a part
is
of the human condition.
I think the initiative here is because there seems to be a connection with menstruation that it's like Tori said, it's almost like people don't like talking about it because they feel like they're not allowed to talk about it, even though it's a part like a humanly. Process, bodily process that women go through.
Of course. Do women feel like they can't talk about it to other women, or they can't talk about it to men?
No, I think it's to men. Women and women were like, sorry, I'm just on my period. Or like, do you have a tampon? Like, everything is just like asking for lipstick or something from a person. Like, it's very normal for us because we experience it. We're like,
of course.
We get it. Like, there are horror stories.
Let me ask you. Yeah, but like, hold on. So I'm confused. Is this supposed to take away stigma of like you talking about your period to me?
I think so.
So there was this Instagram photo that happened probably about like a year ago now. And it was this girl laying in bed and there was like a blood spot. And then it was reported and she had to end up taking it down. And so I think for that, they're just kind of being like, we can post photos and there can be blood. There can be other situations informing that girls have periods and it doesn't have to be this like report or disgusting or seemed as like it should just be like normal in our culture because every girl has it.
I sort of disagree with that, though. I'm not posting pictures on my Instagram with a Should I start doing that? Like, sure, it's a natural bodily function, but you.
But that's sexual. Periods aren't really sexy.
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just wake up and like, what the hell?
No, there are many times where I'm not thinking about anything. Like I'm not thinking about sex. Especially in high school. Do you know how many times I've had to flip my up into my waistband? And I know we have to bleep the word.
That's also high school.
Right. But you would flip it up in your waistband just so you would have to hide it from people. So you're saying kids in high school should just be walking with their tent fully pitched?
I'm not saying that because I don't think period is sexy. Like, that's not like something that's like, oh, guess what I have?
Okay,
like, you know, it's something where it's like, we literally can't control it. Like, sometimes you just like bleed so much, like, it gets places. Like, it's not pretty. It's just kind of being like, that's just what happens. It's part of being a girl and it sucks.
I think that there is a line. There has to be a line somewhere.
So you're saying you wouldn't appreciate like on your friend's feed having something like showing that she was like bleeding.
I just don't think it's something necessary to announce.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point in hiding it.
Of course not.
But
if there is an issue.
Not like, what's up? I'm on my period. Check out my bloody crotch. I don't think that's entirely necessary because it's.
But then like moms posting breastfeeding photos.
Fine.
See, but that's like, that's just nature. Like, it's just nature versus like the
puberty
sexual.
A puberty is very much part of nature, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Back to your original conversation.
But yours is like sexual realm. Like a girl with
I got this hard penis.
But if you think
and
about
I need to find
it, a girl who posts a picture with her boobs out, you'd be like, "Whoa, report that. That's very sexual." But with a baby on your breast, it's natural. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's just kind of that level line of being like, okay, I have a period. It's not sexy, but like it's just natural. Like a is just kind of like
there's a reason for the
there's just yeah like it's
yeah but the idea to now we're stigmatizing sex.
Good strong rebuttal.
So that's my only question, like, what are we going to stigmatize and what are we not going to
stigmatize?
I just
think we should all just drop our stop wearing clothes. We'll all just walk around.
Well,
naked.
Even think
get
about
some
like
leaves.
The whole
not
Adam.
Even. Just
not
let,
even.
Let it all fly.
Just let it all.
Adam and Eve.
The Adam Levine thing, right? There was like the backlash about him taking off his shirt because people were saying if he can show his nipple at the halftime show. Why was there a big fuss about Janet Jackson?
Wait, is this an actual like article
an actual,
you read?
I saw, yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
and because a lot of people were just wondering. But here's the thing. That actually brings up a good question for me, because when did it become socially acceptable for women not to show their boobs? I know that sounds really...
I think it depends on what you believe
elementary.
In. Because if you're like the Bible, it's from day one when Adam bit to that. Or when Eve bit into the apple, then it became shameful, and then she covered herself up. But then if you go to like other places, it's like, well, the cavemen put fur over themselves to keep them warm. Like, I just kind of think it depends on what you believe in, on where it all started.
I agree. So my question is, if we bring it back to this whole period emoji, is where do we draw the line? I don't want any female to feel uncomfortable talking about her period. It is a natural course of life. It's something that females will go through. I also don't want guys to feel uncomfortable talking about what they go through during puberty, and like it's just hormones, and females go through it too, but we also know that it's just
if
it's a hard thing to really know balance, right? Because if we destigmatize periods, then what else are we going to destigmatize?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't or should, but it's just a conversation to be had.
Yeah, if Ashley's on her period, do you guys still fool around?
That's a personal question.
So yes.
Well,
I mean, that's a hard. Personally, it doesn't stop me. It doesn't stop me, and I always.
I believe
like,
that 1,000%.
We've talked about it, and those conversations will stay private to what we do or what we don't do. But certainly, I'm very comfortable talking about subjects like that.
Right.
Whether it be, you know, an intimate relationship while you're going through your period, or whether it is, you know, just going through your period in general, and if I need to buy you things or things of that nature.
The point is, I've been, as I'm sure most guys have been in the situation where you're getting intimate with someone, and then the girl goes, oh no, I feel bad, I'm on my period. Maybe they're trying to stop it from happening. Maybe that's what
yeah,
it is.
That's where my head went.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly.
You're like,
but it's like a,
show
like,
me the.
Like, say it's your girlfriend or something. Know. Like, it's not just like some random hookup. Like, say it's your girlfriend, because that's typically when you would encounter that. I feel like a girl is almost ashamed to be like, "Oh, I'm on my period.
Yeah.
I don't think we should do this for your sake." But in my eyes, I'm like, I don't care.
No, exactly.
We'll
but
just put a towel down.
It's more of a. You know, it's a nice gesture. You know, they're just being mindful.
Or maybe Tori's right. Maybe they're just trying to be like, I'm not in the mood.
I think it's
both. I'm not gonna lie, that's where my head went.
Totally.
But I also hear the other side. Like I don't know. You're just kind of not like proud of it. You're not like, this is happening. You're kind of like, hey, sorry. Like, it honestly is kind of messy.
Well, it's messy, and also I'm sure. God, we're getting really graphic. But as a guy, you know. If you do involve yourself in relations while a girl is going through that time of her month, like it does, you know, it gets on you.
Well,
that's fine.
I think it's fine too. I'm fine with that, but I can understand why a female would say,
"Hey,
I'm not sure if I feel comfortable."
This is also another fun fact.
As a girlfriend, not even just a hookup. I mean, in a relationship,
we actually release—I forget the scent—on our period that makes us more attracted to men. I forget what it's called.
A pheromone?
Maybe like a pheromone. I should probably have my facts before I present this to the table, but so, I do know we become more attractive to men through like our pheromones.
So what's actually funny is in this article about the emoji, the period emoji, they're saying with that release, they're also releasing a perfume.
That's what it is. It's like a
scent. Smells like...
And it makes guys...
I totally just made that.
Wait, no, but I'm being serious. Dang it. Well, I was actually kind of excited because I was like, okay, so I am being 100% accurate because I'm like 99% sure this is actually a thing. But you like release this pheromone and it becomes, and it's like on your period, we become more attractive to men.
There are articles that have.
So girls kill it when you know.
There are articles that have been written that say, as a guy, if you're going out to a bar, you should service yourself before you go out because you'd release a pheromone that women find attractive.
I have never heard that before.
I've heard it before. I've read the articles.
Wikipedia doesn't count.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Wikipedia
is
scripture. Hold on. I'm confused. So you're saying that women release a scent that men can smell?
Yes. It's like subconscious. You're not like, oh, this smell just happened. Right. It's just
oh, is that chicken pot pie?
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, a little weird, but yes. Like, you know, like, it's something that happens subconsciously almost in a realm, because like, you don't really smell the scent, but it makes us more enticing to men our period.
And on the flip side of that is men servicing themselves before they go out, because women subconsciously pick up on something.
Weird. Yeah.
There's an article on The Independent. It's headlined, "When women are at their most fertile, mm-hmm. a time of the month, they smell better to men."
And that really boils back down to the visceral things that we find attractive in women, like birthing hips, big butts, big boobs for feeding their children, that we just don't even associate with each other anymore. Like, I look at a butt that's really nice and I don't associate with it, those are great birthing hips. I just, like, I don't know what it is in me. I'm just like, that's a really nice butt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because we become so disconnected mm-hmm. from the humanistic feelings that we just don't even know what to relate them back to.
It's very true, actually.
The practical reasons why.
No, that's really interesting, because it makes sense. Why are we attracted to certain parts of the body and why are we not attracted?
And then I'm sorry for the language. I'm going to say it again. It fucks with us mentally. Because then we stigmatize things like menstruation, mm-hmm. even though it's a thing that we are programmed and wired in our heads to be attracted to, and now we're stuck hiding it from each other.
Yeah.
See, this brings me into all types of conversations right now, because like you say, butts and all hips and birthing, and that's why we're
you forgot boobs.
Boobs.
Yep.
And that's why we're attracted to those certain parts of the body, because it all goes back to human nature and birthing, but we don't even think of that. It makes me curious on the other side, of why are we not attracted to things like feet? Like, why are foot fetishes? Why is there a stigma there? I'm curious if that relates to this. Literally, my mind is all over the place now, but it's interesting, isn't it? Like, why is there a stigma towards that? I wonder if there's something to do with human nature, of maybe just the natural smell of things.
Why would someone be attracted to a foot more so than another person, I think is what you're asking?
People are attracted to butts because subconsciously, we don't even think about it, but it goes back to birthing, right? It's for men to women.
Yes. That's like across the board, right? Men are attracted to, and obviously it's a blanket statement that applies
to a stereotype,
very large percentage of the population.
But we're just speaking in
And then there's like 1% that have foot fetishes.
Exactly. Why do you think that is?
Maybe it's just like a mental...
I know.
A misfire in your neurons.
Yeah, but what if women gave birth from their feet? Do you think we'd be more attracted?
Well, yes, of course.
It's interesting.
So Freud claimed that foot fetishes start because feet resemble penises.
Oh, so you're saying if a guy has a foot fetish.
I will never look at a foot and the same way.
It's similar to...
Yeah.
Dean has removed his shoe and sock.
Get over here, Tori. Look at these feet.
Oh, dear.
Scarred.
And,
it's so
brain...
tiny.
Oh, man. Low blow.
Is that a size
6, a 5? For the listeners out there, they're very normal-sized feet. Okay?
What size is your foot?
Normal-sized feet.
Wait,
what size is your foot?
A 12.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm just kidding. It's a 10.5.
No way.
Oh.
That means nothing.
It's not all about size.
It's that I'm 11.5. That's
all. The big E.
What were you going to say before that?
Small but quick, okay?
Are you proud of that?
All right. Let's stop talking about Dean's penis.
We're talking about my feet.
Do we have time for one email or should we? Yeah?
I think we should do 2.
Let's do 2. All right. Let's do anonymous, because anonymous are always my favorites. They're
juicy.
All from Anonymous, actually. Man, Anonymous loves our show.
Email roulette.
Let's do the one that asks about my infertility issue.
Yeah, let's do that one.
You want to read it for us?
Yes, absolutely. It says, I loved that Dean brought up how he went to a fertility clinic because he was concerned he was infertile. Would love for you guys to go more in depth on the male side of infertility issues.
It's funny that this is an email on today's podcast, because we're talking so much about the human
body. That subject. I know, right?
I think that there is a trait ingrained in all of us, whether we can identify it or not, that encourages us to procreate. And if there's ever any doubt in our minds that we have an inability to procreate, mm-hmm. we start to focus on it and it becomes like a mental issue. So for me personally, like I said, I was 24, 25, had never had a pregnancy scare. And I've had friends that are like, oh, yeah, like she was a couple of days late on her period. I never experienced that with my long-term girlfriend. Never had that issue. So I was like, maybe there's something wrong with me. Mm. And I ran through the process of like, okay, if you're infertile and you come back and it says you can't have kids, because I want kids. Like, I want to have my own kids. I want to pass my genealogy on to the next.
You want to pass that size 10.5 foot on.
I want to pass these little baby feet onto the next generation. And I started mentally preparing myself. I'm like, look, if you get these results back and they say that you can't have children, what's your next step of action going to be? What's your course of action? I've always wanted to adopt. I would have no issue adopting, but I want to have my blood in some offspring. So I was like, look, you'll just take your brother's sperm and have it artificially inseminated in your wife. Hopefully she'd be okay with that idea. But I just want...
Hopefully your brother would be okay with that idea.
Well, that's the thing. I would have to bring it up with him. I would have to make sure that like I would be okay raising my brother's kid, mm-hmm. technically. There was like a lot of issues that I had to deal with meant to mentally prepare myself for that situation. And it's not easy for you know, obviously, women, you always wonder about, you know, if you're going to be able to have children in your 30s or if you can, you know, even have a child. A lot of people mm-hmm. aren't able to, which is always very sad. But you don't really think of it from the men's perspective. So for me to go to that fertility clinic and objectively be like, okay, my swimmers are fine.
What does the process entail?
It's pretty much what you expect. You go into a clinic, yeah. you off into mm-hmm. a cup, and then
you get a little magazine. You go in the room for, you know, however, 20
seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If that.
Do you have to like wait for a phone call? Do they have a report for you?
Yeah, so,
are you like, on a percentage, like 1 out of 10?
So they make you go twice.
You got to do it twice? And how long?
I'll get really personal and intimate. So
please do.
And probably overshare. I don't think I've ever shared this story even with some of my closest friends.
Well, here we go.
So I was moving to Los Angeles. And during the move, I knew that there was a clinic in Los Angeles that I wanted to get tested at. And so because of that,
why was there a specific clinic? Why?
It was just like that was the one that I found, right? And so, sure. And as I was moving to LA, I was like, that's the place that I'm going to go. The move took, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And during those 3 weeks, I was like, look, you're not going to self-service. You're not going to hook up with anyone. You're going to have the strongest, most potent sample you possibly can have. So I get there after 3 weeks of nothing, do it in the cup. Right. And then they're like, okay, we need you to come back in 4 days and supply a second sample because that's just, we have 2 samples, you know, to kind of gauge consistency. And they're like, they came back eventually and they're like, everything's fine, but I just want to let you know, for some reason, your first sample was a lot different than your second sample. And I was like, well,
yeah, you told them it had been 3 weeks up
yeah,
to that point,
yeah.
And only a few days afterwards.
But it was like this weird thing. They called me like super concerned. They're like, hey, I just want to tell you, there was a big inconsistency with their samples.
Yeah, but what kind of inconsistency are we talking about? Like,
did you give them like a quart the first time?
Yeah. It was a lot. Like I said, this is a very interesting, maybe like a too personal of a story, but it was a lot. And then the second one, I was just like, I didn't care because I was like, okay, they already got like my best swimmers, like
yeah.
my strongest ones.
Yeah.
So like
the Olympic athlete.
They're getting sloppy seconds.
We'll go to the bench for this.
And they're like, they told me, they're like, look, everything's fine, but I just think that you should know that you're a little inconsistent. I was like, okay, well, that's fine because I know exactly why that is. Yeah, I don't know.
What do you mean? Because you didn't wait 4 days.
Because when's the last... Okay, let's ask Easton. When's the last time you went 3 weeks?
Listen, I was just putting the story together. 3 weeks? There was actually a time where I was... Man, this is... I was kind of like in a long-distance relationship. I didn't... 2 months.
But yourself, you didn't...
Nothing.
Your best
I had
friend
no
right here.
Urge to.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was the first time where I really felt,
you know, there's
just no urge to do it.
There's
actually,
to the beast.
There are some studies again that are not on Wikipedia, but actually published professionally, whatever, academically, that say if men are able to refrain from doing that, they're able to think more clearly. They're able to focus on more constructive things.
I promise you, I was still a dumbass. I was not George Costanza.
I've read those. There's some people online that say if you just don't do it, you'll be able to like move things with your mind. Yeah. Like that. Like, okay.
Those are written by a woman just to be like,
yeah.
Not much Einstein, gonna fool these men.
Einstein wasn't special. He just never masturbated type thing. So we'll do one more email and then wrap up. Another one from Anonymous, our favorite fan.
Here, I'll read this one. Which one?
Perfect. My friend is crossing the line. Like
oh, I like the sexual, the sexting one. But
all
okay,
right, do that. No, do that one then. I was just going through whatever was in order. So do whatever one you like.
So Anonymous says, because we haven't really talked about this. We've talked about it before, but not recently. The topic is sexting cheating? And obviously the first response to that is yes.
Yeah.
But
uh-huh.
let's read the situation. My boyfriend and I have been together for almost 3 years, and I just found out that he had sent dick pics to one of my friends and continue to do so for the first year of us living together. He's admitted to messaging on porn sites as well, but never anything physical with anyone. He says that he'll see a therapist to find out why he has this sexting urge when he feels physically and emotionally fulfilled in our relationship. What would you do in the situation? Well, one, I would dump him.
Well, he says he's going to see a therapist.
That's a start. You definitely want someone that's going to work on their issues, but it sounds like he is giving a lot of people that aren't you his attention.
Mm.
And it's attention that will figuratively ultimately lead to sex. Mm-hmm. And that's 100% cheating.
What if he's a sex addict?
Do you believe in that?
I know. Do you believe in that? It doesn't seem like you do.
Yeah, Tori.
I literally just had this conversation with my friend last night.
And what was the...
My initial response is yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot of forms of addiction.
There have been
for
a lot
sure.
of celebrities that have come out recently claiming sex addiction.
But then I also just feel like men want it 24/7, 7 days a week, whatever. Like, I think that you're just very impulsive. Like, I don't know if that's a word I want to put addiction to. I think it's just impulsive. I don't know. I'm not a sex addict.
I think it's just like anything in life, you know, where there are people that actually have an addiction and have an issue and they should go see therapists about it.
Yeah.
And there's also people that use it as a cop out.
Yeah.
You know, just like a lot of different areas of life.
I think it's an easy way to be like, I remember I was cheating on high school and this guy, he was like, we were both really drunk. And I'm like, yeah, but like, why is that a cop out?
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you chose to drink, you chose to be in that way. Obviously, you're still able to do the act, so like, you weren't that drunk.
I think what's worse about claiming addiction is it's almost like you're turning around to make them feel sorry for you.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's a head tilt response to be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
You can be addicted, but there's like a whole lying element to this and like dishonesty. Because like, if you just went to her and said, hey, I'm having these urges that I can't control, like, will you... You know, I understand if you don't want to be with me anymore, but I'm going to try to get help for this.
Right.
That's what he should. But instead, he's like, I'm going to send pictures of my joint to a lot of, you know, well, like, so.
Totally. But in the email, she does say that he has admitted to messaging on porn sites.
On porn
as
sites,
well.
Not her friends. And
no, exactly.
Like that.
So there's lies and there's. So I'm sure that she came to him and was like, what the f-? Excuse me. And then he was like, yep, I did do it. And I've done this. He does say he's trying to go see a therapist. Here's the thing about addictions that I always say is that. Addictions are real, but you have to put effort in to try to solve them. Like, you can't just be like, I'm an addict. There's nothing I can do. Like, I tried. It didn't work. That's not good enough for me. I agree with you. But if somebody's like, hey, I'm a sex addict, but they go to therapy or they try to fix the issue and they get better, that's a hard thing for me to really look down upon.
My question is also for you guys. Like, what's your opinion on this? A lot of people say, well, if you're an addict, that means, so let's say you're an alcohol addict, like you're addicted to alcohol. Mm-hmm. You literally don't have a drop of alcohol and you're sober. So is addict kind of the wrong term to use for being a sex addict? Because technically you can't go, I mean, you could go your life without sex, but like, brutal, but like...
Brutal.
Especially for men. So I don't know. I'm like, is it just wrong
women.
Terminology? Is it just being like, hey, I am just kind of horny and like... wanted it, or because an addict technically is you can't
control
indulge
your urge.
In it, like you can't indulge in it. You have you can, but like if you're gonna be sober,
you're
like 2 years sober with no alcohol,
right?
For it to be
a sex addiction, it would have to be like consuming your every thought, you're doing it at every given moment you have the ability to.
I don't know,
unable to stop in the face of like what dire consequences. That's what addiction is, like when you feel compelled to do something. In the face of negative repercussions, you still do it.
You know what I want to talk about? Not right now, but next podcast, because I think it would be an interesting segment. Because Tori, you said something. You said the idea of not having sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said that's a big issue, like especially for men.
Yeah.
I wonder who has more of a sex drive, women or men? Because I think the idea that men want to have sex more is a wives' tale.
Sounds like we have a great closer for tomorrow. I mean, for next week's episode.
I think we should talk about that on next week's podcast.
It sounds like Ashley wants to have a lot more sex than Jared
does.
Well, that's an assumption that nobody was thinking.
Wait, can we just close out on what do you guys think about this guy?
Oh, I think you should dump him.
I think she should see if he goes to therapy and he actually gets better. I mean, I don't know. He did cheat on you. So you're in the right either way. If you want to be patient and work on it with him and see if he gets better, if you love him that much, do it. Because
If you, it really boils down to if you love him that much and you're willing to see this through with him.
Because to be fair, I mean, not to be fair, the guy was in the wrong, but it wasn't a physical cheating. That doesn't make it better. But if he works on it and she wants to, you know, work this out with him, no pun intended, go with it. And if you want to break up with him because you're in the right
what
too.
What it sounds like to me is like this guy likes to seek the attention and validation of other people. So it sounds like one person's just not going to be enough for him right now.
Yeah, totally right. That's a good analogy. Not analogy. Good
point. Thank you. I think it was as well.
It was a great point. All right, well, that's our show today.
We need to do some
thank yous
to some people.
Well, we need to
would love to thank Brittany and Brianna.
Brittany, Brianna, Joshua.
And Jeffrey.
Jeremy.
Let's cut that part out.
No, keep that in. That was amazing.
Yeah, let's keep that part in. That's
cool. Big thank you to the twins that came in. You guys can check out their one-hour event. It premieres Monday, tonight, February 11th at 10 o'clock on TLC. It is our Twin Sane Wedding.
If you're listening to this episode and you are watching our Instagram post, be sure to post 3 menstruation emojis on our Instagram post.
Yep, need it.
We're going to keep our eyes peeled for those. Thank you very much. Because we, as a culture, need to destigmatize menstruation. And this is where we start on the Help I Suck at Dating Instagram page.
We start today. The period emoji.
We start today.
Also, a big thank you
to Sleep Number. We love Sleep Number. We love sleeping, even if it's just by ourselves. Be sure to go to sleepnumber.com/Dean to find the Sleep Number nearest you.
How you spell that, Dean?
That's DEAN.
Sleepnumber.com/Dean.
Don't forget to check out Third Love as well. We love them and their incredible undergarments. Be sure to visit thirdlove.com/Vanessa to get 15% off your Third Love order today.
Definitely please rate and review our podcast on iTunes. We want to hear more feedback from you guys. We want to get better. We love doing this and we want to improve. So please rate and review all our podcasts.
You know, so when I was solo hosting this podcast, our rating was like right around 3.5. Now it's up to a 4.0.
Ooh, we could be better though. Guys,
the GPA you never had.
No, I know.
We know that 4.0 GPA.
So keep sending the emails at isuckatdating@iheartradio.com. Rate and review the podcast on iTunes. We love hearing from you guys. Please join the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating Podcast. Please follow us on Instagram, Help I Suck at Dating.
Let's go around the circle, around the room as we sign off here. Round robin, hot potato style, high school GPAs. I'll start 2.9. Go.
2.9, I think.
I think it was like a 3.4.
Show off.
Get out of here. Leave the room.
2.6.
Nice.
Whoa, Easton. Bad boy, you.
Anyways.
Also, before we sign off, just one more thing. Tomorrow morning, Ashley and I will be on Good Morning America promoting something that we have coming out. We're very excited about. We'll be talking about Bachelor, but we'll also be releasing something. So please tune in because it's very near and dear to our hearts, and we put a lot of hard work into it. So hope you like it.
Shameless self promotion plug.
Obviously
I'm just
all the time.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I feel like we rambled a lot. I feel like I'm still getting some feedback that I'm talking too fast, so maybe just play it at like a 0.75%.
Yeah, maybe. I think I talk too fast too, so that's a problem.
Yeah, we just get so excited and worked up about all these issues.
Well, anytime I see you, I get so worked up and excited. Okay. I was talking to Easton.
Okay. Anyways, thank you so much to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. We apologize Vanessa wasn't here, but she'll be back next week. And be sure to tune in then, because maybe I will suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.